Hi, my name's Irene, as you guys all know. Hi. All week long, I've been going over and praying and talking to God and trying to figure out, okay, you know, you guys hear me up here all the time. It's the same thing all the time. You guys know my story a little bit. And what's something different that I can share with you? And so I try to pick out something that either is happening to me, because I'm a very open person. My life is pretty much an open book. And so usually I use something that's a point of reference in my life. That's the way God has always worked in my life. He has used things, happy things, sad things, all kinds of things, and turn it around later on so I can use it to share with somebody else. Like when my first husband passed away, he turned that into me being able to facilitate a grief recovery group back in Nevada, that I could take that pain that I had and turn that into something really beautiful to help somebody else that's walked through that. My growing up with a very verbally abusive father, the same thing. And so I'm able to share things like that. I just wasn't quite sure of what to talk about and which part of my crazy life. And it was interesting. I got this new book. A friend of mine actually wrote it, and I was very excited. It's called Longing for Eden. She's a friend of mine in Nevada. It sells a book on Amazon, which I think is pretty cool. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just get it just to support her. And it says, it's time for a new beginning. I thought, well, that's interesting. My life is starting all over again at 57. You know, it's, am I 57? Yeah, I'm 57. Sure. I forgot. No, I'm 58. Ew, see? Having gotten divorced 2 years ago, it totally threw me again for another loop and starting my life all over again. And so this new beginning was really exciting and scary at the same time. Being scared is a big part of my life. Fear of the unknown, fear of not believing in myself has always been an issue in my life, thanks to a very wonderful dad who was very good at cutting me down and not letting you believe in yourself. My family didn't mean, I don't think they did that intentionally, but it was done from the very beginning, that you didn't have a high self-esteem unless you were like something else. And so for most of my life, I tried to be something else. Growing up, I'm sure you've heard of Cinderella, Snow White, you know, and that song, Someday My Prince Will Come, you know. And then with Cinderella, you know, just keep believing and that prince will come and he's going to take you away on his white horse. And what that all led to, that my grandmother very nicely told me that you need to get married and this is the way your life is going to be, and then you'll be happy. When you meet the right person, you'll be happy. When you make enough money, you'll be happy. When you lose weight, you'll be happy. When you do this, when you finish school, you'll be happy. All this, I kept looking for that happiness. And I kept looking in the wrong places. What's that stupid old song, looking for love in all the wrong places? But it's really not just love. It's everything. I looked for my happiness, and I literally expected somebody else to make me happy. I was trying to find, we were talking about slides and stuff, and I was trying to find just something that kind of expressed what I was feeling. And I came across this one thing, and it says, I'm waiting for someone that makes me smile every day, someone I can talk to about anything, someone who makes me feel beautiful, because if I'm going to fall in love, I want it to be with somebody special and extraordinary. I think that's wonderful. I think that's beautiful. I think that's great. Do I believe that can happen? Yes, I do. The problem with that growing up was believing that's the only way that I could be a whole person, was with somebody else. In that movie, Jerry Maguire, that was that line, you complete me. And I really felt that without somebody by my side, I could never be complete. It was always like, that's the goal. You know, yes, I could be a Christian woman and I, you know, became a mother and did it and all this stuff. But it's not until you are married and a mom and then and all this, the right things. Those are the things that you have to lead to. That's a lie. Because I am a whole person in God's eyes. He created me to be a whole person. He created you to be a whole person, not depending on somebody else. Because as if you depend on a human, that human's going to let you down one way or another. Because we're human, it happens. It's not to say that you can't be happy with somebody else. It's like it's when you put all of your happiness in that person and expect that person to make you happy. My ex-husband expected me to make him happy. He couldn't find it in himself. He was a miserable person in himself because he wasn't happy deep inside of himself. And that was an issue that he needed to deal with, and he never wanted to face that because it hurt. I mean, how many of you have been through something that you don't really want to face it because it hurts too much? You don't want to think about it because it hurts too much. You know what? I'll deal with it later. I don't want to deal with it, God, because it hurts too much. And so with Mark, he didn't want to face that, which made me sad because then it put all the pressure on me. I had to make him happy. And if I didn't, oh, Lordy, move out of the way. He'd be mad at me. And so then I felt, Irene, you're such a stupid idiot. Why, you're so bad. You're a bad wife. You're this and that because you can't make your husband happy. Blah, blah, blah. You're never pretty enough. You're never smart enough. You're never good enough. Funny, that sounds exactly like how it was with my dad. And now my husband was doing the same thing. It wasn't their fault. It's what I believed about myself. And it's taken me a long time to realize that it's not about them. It's about the lies that I believed about myself, that I wasn't good enough. I would never amount to anything. I would never be good enough, not even for God. It took a lot of prayer, a lot of self-examination, as my counselor liked to put it, a lot of ripping, gut-wrenching, soul-wrenching, painful digging in my soul, literally bringing up things that I didn't want to think about that happened when I was a child, and things that where it all started from when I started to learn about those lies that formed me. And then when I actually was able to literally throw them up, you know, vomit them out and see them for what they are, it's just vomit. It's garbage. That's lies from the pit of hell. That's what Satan wants me to believe, that I could never be a whole person. I could never be good enough, not even for God. I've done some things that I thought were unforgivable. But in God's eyes, that's not true. What does the scripture say? He loves us unconditionally, no matter what we did. Our sins are thrown as far as the east is from the west. He has forgiven everything. We are made clean by his blood. Every little thing that I've done, every little thing, every lie that I've thought about myself, it's not like I committed murder or something, but I was murdering my soul. My own happiness. I couldn't be happy unless I was this. Yes, I can. So what I've learned is that through all that, I can be happy by myself with God, which is a real weird thing. It's different, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Just because you're single doesn't mean you're not a complete Christian, you know? It's not true, although that's what I grew up believing. I know a lot of people have done that. Single people have always have kind of like this, I don't know, there's been a cloud about that, you know? Oh, now you're married. Oh, good, you know? But when you're single, poor thing, when are you going to get married? You know, I mean, there's somebody out there for you, you know? You need to go out there, get on that website and go find them. Wait a minute. So what I'm learning now is who I am in Christ. So God, what do you have for me? Yes, there was a time when he had me be a wife, but right now he's got something else for me. What that looks like, I'm learning. I'm not quite sure yet, but I know that it's something great. It's something special for me now. And part of it is being okay with just being him and me. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of weird when I start talking to myself in the store or at home and stuff, and people are looking at me. I'm talking to God, you know, and sorry, yeah, that's what I'm doing. So this is what I've been dealing with a lot for the past couple years, but God has really come around like full circle with me. And in the last few weeks, I've had this like quietness in my spirit, and I couldn't really put my finger on it. I thought, okay, something's wrong. Something's going to happen. I'm kind of nervous and scared. Oh my gosh, this is what I've been praying for. It's that quietness in my spirit that, Irene, it's okay. He's telling me that, you know, God is saying to me that he's the lover of my soul. There's a scripture in Isaiah where it talks about that God is the husband, you know, because we are the bride as a church. We are his bride. I take that very literally. He is my husband. He's the one that I can talk to. And that thing that I was just reading, you know, when you look at it, it says, I'm waiting for someone that makes me smile every day. God makes me smile every day. He really does. And he takes it from the smallest things to every day when I come down Sumner and I come to Front Street and I look at that ocean, it makes me smile every single day. When I go to work, it makes me smile. Someone I can talk to about anything. Well, there's when I'm talking out loud and people think I'm weird, but I can talk to about everything. Oh my gosh, God, did you see what that person did to me? You know, I mean, to the good things, to the bad things. It doesn't matter. I can talk to him about anything, and he doesn't judge me. He doesn't look at me and say, Irene, are you stupid or something? I mean, could you think that? How could you think that way possibly? He doesn't say that. He just kind of sits there as that loving father and says, you're okay. It's okay. You know, if I say something wrong, don't mean to brag, you know, nag on my ex-husband, but I remember when I would say something, if it didn't come out exactly right, it would cause for a huge argument because I'm some kind of idiot because I didn't say it quite perfectly. But it's okay because it's who I am. What was the other one? Someone who makes me feel beautiful. That's been a problem of mine since I can remember. So that's a hard one for me. You know, when people say, well, you need to look in the mirror and tell yourself, hello, you're beautiful and I love you, you know, love yourself and all that. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's not going to happen. But God thinks I'm beautiful. Whether I think so or not, but I have to believe what he thinks of me. That doesn't mean I'm going to look like Cindy Crawford. It doesn't mean I have to look like my sister, who is very beautiful, by the way. But I'm never going to look like her. And that's okay. God likes me for who I am because he created me. It doesn't matter if you've got makeup on, if you don't have makeup on, if your hair is blonde, if it's brunette or whatever. But in my family, you see, that was a very big thing. You need to look a certain way. And that's what they put upon me all that time. That last part says, because if I'm going to fall in love, I want it to be with somebody special and extraordinary. And that's God. That is Jesus Christ. He is extraordinary. He makes every day blessed. He makes every day fulfilling. He fills my emptiness. He fills that loneliness. It's an amazing thing. So hopefully, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I hope you find that. Because it's the only way to feel that completeness. In that movie from Jerry Maguire, when they said, you complete me, it is not another person that completes me. It is God who has completed me. Doesn't mean, you know, if I ever get married again, I don't know. But it's not the focal point anymore. God is my focal point. And that completes me. So I pray that you will find that for yourselves, that completeness within your heart.